The 1-900 Wrestling Podcast is brought to you, as always, by patreon.com/1900wrestling. It is the way that you support this show, and all proceeds on 1-900 Wrestling, the Patreon, that is patreon.com/1900wrestling, goes to #DillsToMania. I bought a floor seat that I can't pay for unless you guys do it for us. So go ahead and check it out. Patreon.com/1900wrestling also gets you access to our Patreon-only Discord. Watch wrestling with other fans of this show live. Chat with them. Talk with them. We're sharing spoilers on there. It's absolutely fantastic. Go ahead and check it out. It is patreon.com/1900wrestling.
I want you to call me for all of wrestling's latest news and views. I've been involved in wrestling for 35 years, and nobody knows wrestling like me. Remember the number
1-900 Wrestling!
Stupid idiots.
They call me Horror!
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
And his name is John Cena!
Well, look at this, prima donna!
Thank God Donald Trump's a whole idiot!
And welcome to the Royal Rumble edition of 1-900 Wrestling. My name is Justin Robert Young. Joining me, as always, Willie Dills Gregory. How you doing, Willie?
Dude, I am super pumped. We are counting down the days. Literally, it is this weekend now. Now we can say,
yeah,
this weekend we will be in San Antonio at the Alamo Dome.
Yep.
Oh, my God. I've been watching the network. Lots and lots of old Royal Rumbles, lots of old Manias, just getting super amped. I actually watched the match that got me into wrestling as a child again.
Really?
Which I don't know if I recommend, because it might spoil that memory just a little. The match was Hogan, Ultimate Warrior, WrestleMania 3.
Yeah.
It was an amazing match in lots of ways outside of the actual wrestling. but as far as, you know, just how over the two guys were,
yeah,
the show they put on, awesome. I think as a kid, I thought there was a lot more going on.
We are lucky enough to live in a very athletic age in all sports, yes. Right? And, yes. You know, because I'm a huge hockey fan. Every once in a while, I'll go back and even watch hockey that I remember as a kid. And it's like, the most athletic thing a goalie does is fall down.
Sure.
It's
like, they are much slower than I remember.
It's like, wow, this is not exactly the product that is put forth to me on a daily basis. So,
we've traded in like headshots with chairs for, you know, flippy stuff off of, you know, like the high flying AJ Styles stuff. Like that stuff, we did get some of it, but not to the extent we get now. Right?
No, so, of course not.
It's just a different era. That's all, and that's fine. And I do encourage people, though, to go back and watch stuff on the – if you have the network, go back and watch some of the stuff, because there is some classic stuff on there. And it's just – the fact that it's just at your fingertips at all times is so good.
Just
it's
the
amazing.
Best. Just the best. Yeah. All right. We have so much to talk to. Not only are we going to get into our own predictions and thoughts on the Royal Rumble coming up, we're going to talk about the week that was in wrestling. We're going to talk about why Billy Gunn thinks I'm a college professor, and we are going to go through – and this is what we're going to start with – industries that could be better off if they ripped off the concept of the Royal Rumble. But part of what makes this event so magical, Willie, is the surprise entrance. And we hear, sorry guys, we're going to spoil some really amazing surprise entrance using our advanced technology. We have modeled what it will sound like in the Alamo Dome. When these events take place, let's go ahead and play one of them now here for you. This is a surprise entrant.
Who's it gonna be?
Pickard meme sign. the commander of the Order of the British Empire and a surefire way to get Reddit karma. He's here live in the Alamo Dome.
Can you believe it, Maggle? Oh, man. Oh, my God. I
you shall
so
not pass, Braun Strowman.
Yeah, I would pop so hard. Sir Ian McKellen. Wow. Yeah, he's been all over Reddit lately. Of course, his relationship with Captain Picard is legendary. So
yes. oh, no, totally. Of course. Yeah, his bromance with Sir Patrick Stewart. One solid as a rock. We will have more of those as we go through the episode. But this is something that really kind of got to me, because now that I'm doing a pro wrestling podcast, I get a lot more questions from people that I know in podcasting about pro wrestling. Everybody wants to talk about it. And usually it's in the same snide, like, meh, pro wrestling, like kind of aesthetic.
Sure.
But let me just say this. Royal Rumble is a brilliant concept as invented by Pat Patterson, one of the greatest minds to ever grace the business and art of professional wrestling. And I have a few industries, and we have collaborated on a list that could absolutely make their product better tomorrow if they wholesale ripped off the Royal Rumble. And
Instant improvement. Right? Yeah.
So let's say this. The Grammys. Everybody loves the Grammys. Because you get all these live performances, right? What if you said, congratulations, the end of this show will end with a surprise 15-person medley of all the biggest songs of the year. So now, it starts off, there's Drake on stage, right? He's singing his song. Halfway through, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, The Weeknd walks out. He starts singing Drake's song. It segues into The Weeknd's song.
Yeah, segues into his own. Drake stays on for it for a little bit. Oh,
exactly.
Man, I totally see it.
And now, and it just keeps coming back.
At a certain point, like, 5 or 6 people in, you've essentially got, an all-star cast on stage all at the same time. And then they kind of start dropping off one by one.
Yeah, and then they fade.
Right?
Yeah. So at a certain point, maybe it goes to a big solo, because that's the beauty of the Royal Rumble, is it kind of expands and contracts and everything. And sometimes there's a lot of people. Sometimes it's only 4, but it's the most exciting 4 that could possibly be there. Surprises, thrills, chills, the Grammys, rip off the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, sure. No, all of a sudden it's like, ladies and gentlemen, Paul McCartney. And you're like, whoa, he's back. It's Paul!
Exactly!
Oh my God,
surprise return!
Is here in the building! Yeah, totally. No,
oh my God! You have a big up-tempo pop number. The Chain Smokers are out there doing whatever song that they're doing. All of a sudden, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. It's Milli Vanilli! Oh my God!
So wait, they'd have like the living Milli and then the hologram Vanilli.
Hologram Vanilli. Imagine hologram Tupac, pops out.
Tupac comes out. I mean, you can do this stuff. Yeah, no, it's great. I think you're on it. I mean, the other thing, though, you can look at is it's not just the kind of the big moments of the Royal Rumble. It's also the fact that at the end of it, someone's earning the biggest prize in that industry at that time, right? So you don't have to only use it for things like this. You can use it to weed out the competition in a much cleaner fashion, right? So, my idea was, Congress, right now they don't do anything. They don't get shit done, right?
No.
So rather than have them all come in, spend hours arguing on C-SPAN, let's just say, all right, at the end of this session, one of y'all gets to pass a bill. Whatever bill you want.
Whatever bill.
Yeah, you can no cut the pork. We don't care. You don't have to make deals to cross the aisle.
No.
You just get your bill the way you want it, straight on through. President has to sign it. It's already this is all preordained. This has to happen. But what you got to do?
Yeah.
Is one by one come into the middle of this giant circular room.
Yeah.
And battle it out, right?
Well, it would have to be a filibuster. Right?
Sure, there you go.
Whoever
better. They have to come in and they all have to filibuster until they just start dropping off like flies.
Exactly.
Right? Like one guy's got to pee, another guy drank a little too much coffee. This guy's forgotten the third thing on his list of 3 things you need to cut in the government. There's all sorts of reasons why you crack in the middle of your filibuster.
Oh, man. Can you imagine, like, Rand Paul after he – like, he would be like Ric Flair, like, in that backstage. He's just like, and President Trump, with a tear in my eye, I'm going to make you pass this NSA reform bill.
Well, now, the thing is, you might be listening to this. You might say to yourself, well, but then we're going to get some terrible policies passed. But I say to you, at least some policies will pass, goddammit.
Yeah, something. Somebody's got a shot.
Something's going to happen. So, also, it will change the way you vote for your representatives, don't you think?
Oh, long-winded.
You're now looking for stamina.
How long can you talk? Yeah. Right?
A quick wit, sharp on your feet. Yeah, you're not going to be looking for, you know, the guy you've heard of his name before. Now you're going to be like, all right, but let me see like a weigh in between these two candidates. I need to see who I think is more physically fit and ready to go. But yeah, I think it'd be great.
All right.
Just get some stuff done, right?
Hey, listen, I'm going to spin off one of yours. So feel free to jump in here.
Sure.
You have the NBA playoffs. So maybe you've got a different take on it, but you know, they just announced this new 3-on-3 league that they're going to be doing with all these ex-players. Have you heard this?
Yeah. They always try to like make this work where it's that kind of street basketball feel and stuff. Yeah.
So this is going to be all the teams are going to play on one day. You're going to come get to see a bunch of ex-players that have big names, like player coaches. It'll be a fun time.
Sure.
But how about this? Starts out two men in the ring, or two men on the court, right?
Uh-huh.
Every 15 or every minute and a half, you're adding one. So
player to each side or just one extra guy?
One extra guy onto a side. He picks which side that he's on. So it's always going to be 2-on-1. And then maybe if you miss.
You get handicap matches. Yeah.
Yeah. If you miss two shots in a row, you're out.
Okay.
So
you miss two shots in a row and somebody literally picks you up and then throws you off the court.
Yeah, and that's it. Yeah. And then you're going to get and to keep it with the and-one flavor, there's a man on the court with a microphone that's just yelling at you.
Like, that's my godson! Yeah. Oh, baby! Yeah, there you go. All right, I'm down, dude.
All I want to do now is just hear the and-one announcer's version of, like, all the Michael Cole. Like,
sure. You know? By God, that man has a family!
Oh, my!
That was my favorite thing, though, is that somehow the professor, the white guy, was his godson. Like that. Yes. That was. I will always. Anytime someone brings up and one, you will just hear me immediately. That's my godson. I'll just remember that moment forever, dude. Okay, so see, like, I love this.
Yeah,
but I think, you know, the NBA playoffs right now, they take too long. Let's be honest. Like, we all enjoy basketball.
They're to sell a lot of popcorn, right?
Sure, like, and I understand. Like, they it's money. It's a money thing.
Yeah.
But I think we could just make it a more enjoyable experience for all of us. If, you know, the 8 seeds are in there, and basically, like, winning the regular season is essentially like getting, like, the 30th entrance in the Royal Rumble, right? So the number one seed gets to come in last. And so you start with, like, the 7 and 8 seeds, and they're playing, and it's 5-on-5, and they're doing the thing. They're actually playing a basketball game. And then it's like, all of a sudden, 5, 4, 3. Oh, my God, it's the Golden State Warriors. Here comes Steph Curry. Here, you know, they come in, and they just start slaughtering everybody. And it would be great. It would be great. And we'd just be done with it one night, big pomp and circumstance, sold-out arenas. And then we move on to the finals, and then we get to watch, you know, the Warriors and the Cavaliers.
You want, all right? So here,
cut out all the middle stuff. We don't need all that middle stuff.
The rest of them here, I mean, I think we can just, everybody can figure them out for themselves. I say figure skating. It'd be great to have a Royal Rumble for figure skating. Everyone's out there.
Is Brian Boitano? He's here.
Surprise entrance, right? Sure. And then, of course, the AVN Awards. I think the AVN Awards could very much use a Royal Rumble aesthetic.
Before we even tell you how that would go, I think we can imagine.
Go ahead. Figure it out for yourself. Everybody show your work.
Like a pizza man and something, and then the next thing you know, it's just a big mess. But, yeah, all right.
And speaking of that, here we go. We have another projection.
No.
Yeah, here we go. Yep.
Oh my God, I would never see
The pussy grabbing, beady eye having, career sagging, tiny terror of the Today Show. Billy Bush in the building, ladies and gentlemen. Holy shit.
Oh, wow. Coming off a real disaster of a year, Billy Bush.
Trying to revive, make him, he's going to make it to WrestleMania this year and fix all his problems. Billy Bush. By the way, I didn't realize Billy Bush is actually a member of the Bush family.
Oh, yeah.
I did not know that. I mean, I assumed maybe, but yeah. Doing a little research on Wikipedia, I was like, oh, look at that.
No, there's a fun little game you can play with, like, look at who's on your television and then look at who their parents are.
Sure.
Because, like, even, like, Anderson Cooper. Like, Anderson Cooper's a Vanderbilt. Like, the sure. of the Vanderbilts.
Sure,
right?
of the Vanderbilts, yes. I've heard of them, sure.
So I had a fun situation over the weekend where all of a sudden I'm getting all these tweets.
Now I see this in the notes, and yet I still can't believe that this is a thing that happened. And I need details.
So about a year and change ago, at the last Nerdtacular, I did a one-man show that uh-huh. was in part me telling stories about myself, and I brought Abby of Diary of a Trans Woman on, and she told a crazy story, and then I did a little one-man a bit about one of my favorite elements of wrestling, which is the theme song for Badass Billy Gunn, Mr. Ass, specifically. Just sure. the, like, I'm an ass man. Meh, meh. Yeah. And it went over really, really well. I was very happy that everybody enjoyed it.
Well, I mean, the you know, right there, your subject matter is yeah. just perfect, right? I mean, there's lots of room for expounding on the material you've already started with.
And great. Very much what I wanted to do with that bit was take it far too seriously than it needed to be, right? And okay. draw all these larger themes about society and culture and professional wrestling and what it means yeah. as an art form and yada, 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 right? So it's supposed to be a very intentionally over-the-top, navel-gazing kind of situation. Joey Image, who we got to have on this show now that we have everything yeah, well, kind of running, takes it, cuts out that clip, posts it on his YouTube, and sends it, because he's friends with Billy Gunn, sends it to Billy Gunn. Billy Gunn loves it. Hits me, you know, at replies me on Twitter. I'm having a great time, right? So next thing you know,
This is like a year ago.
This is like a year, yeah. like back when it first happened.
Yeah.
Billy Gunn is doing the This Is Awesome Wrestling show. And he starts talking about my breakdown of his theme. This is a clip from the This Is Awesome Wrestling show with Billy Gunn.
I so for the life of me got to write this down. Is he analyzes that song in a college seminar.
Okay.
He goes through the song, like just picks it to pieces. Not in a bad way.
Right.
It is absolutely hilarious. Like he does his seminar with that music, breaking yep. that down in some form or fashion that's relevant to the class that he's teaching. It is absolutely hilarious.
Now I can understand. If you look at the video, it does. I never thought of it as a college class looking thing, but I do walk behind a lectern to
sure.
to use the.
Well, it was in one of the rooms in the hotel, right, where they had a bunch of stuff set up to do podcasts and presentations, right?
Yeah.
Assuming, okay.
It
probably did look like either, you know, a college classroom. There's people sitting in chairs. You know, intently watching. But I assume those people were, you know, laughing and I don't know.
It was. I mean, like, I never thought of it like that
sure.
until he said it. Like, until I'm like, oh, my God, I guess I do look like that. This is a college professorial course. But even then, it's like the idea that somebody would be paid and you would be able to earn collegiate credit. For listening to me talk about the Ass Man theme.
You know, that doesn't seem that weird to me, man. After going to college later in life,
Yeah.
You know, I went to college at the age of 28, or at least that's when I like went to university or whatever, and like finished my degree that I'd already started. And there were I took, because I didn't have to take any general ed. All I had to take was stuff in my in my field, and then a couple of random things to fill stuff out. There was like a music appreciation class where literally you just sat there and listened to like 70s jams, and that was it. That was the class.
So
and
this,
we got credits for it. So you know,
this is
and you are wearing the outfit that you are wearing.
Yeah.
Does kind of, you know, it screams a little bit, I'm a professor.
I mean, right? I guess, yes.
This does look like a college classroom, too.
It doesn't, it doesn't not look like it. No, I mean, no. I'm totally with Billy Gunn on this one. Like, yeah. I didn't realize how much it was going to look like that. I mean, granted, I'm wearing ripped jeans and a t-shirt with a red sport coat on top of it.
Well, you're tenured, so who cares anymore, right? Like, I think that's the takeaway there.
I do, I look, I guess maybe I
do. You're the cool teacher.
Right? I look like a teacher who's trying to bang students.
You're definitely right? Sleeping with three of the students.
I'm sleeping with three of the students yeah. That are taking
that
course.
They're all pissed at each other. They started out as great friends, and now they hate each other.
But it delighted me so much that Billy Gunn liked that bit, and I will link to the entire Billy Gunn segment here.
Dude, that's amazing. Now his take on it, that you are a professor aside, what he's saying about it is what's really golden here, which is that he enjoyed your like the bit you came up with
yeah.
about this, which is to break it down in a really serious manner. I think that's genius. Like that.
Well, and yeah, not to spoil it, but effectively, the bit ends with me saying that the Mr. Ass character is the most important cultural figure in all of professional wrestling, and more specifically, that we need to bring Mr. Ass back in 2016. Sure. That we are now in the era where Mr. Ass would be most appreciated.
Yeah, like I think you're definitely right. Culture right now has a big gaping hole in it, where an ass should go.
Oh, speaking of that, we have yet another surprise entrant, Willie.
Oh no way!
Here we go. Shadows of Michael Phelps to the bathrooms of Brazil. He's here freestyling in the Alamo Dome.
Holy, can you believe it? Ryan Lochte, blonde hair. He's coming out. He's trying to clean up his image here in the Royal Rumble.
And you can hear the WWE Universe chanting, ja, ja, ja.
Yeah, that what was his? Yeah, Jia was his.
Jia, I think. Yeah, that's his catchphrase.
He wanted to actually, I think, copyright that. but also, I did watch his reality show.
Yeah, what was the reality
thing
show?
Was he wanted to always say, "We're turning it up," or something like that. Like everywhere he'd go, "We're gonna turn it up." It's like, all right, dude.
What
I get
a
it.
Goober!
We're turning it up.
All right, where are you at? This is our news segment. Where are you at on looking up, especially in a wide open Rumble, right? I mean, I think like this Rumble is kind of wide open for a lot of different reasons. Number
sure.
one,
no, there's many people who could win this, and it would not be shocking. Well it would be shocking, but it wouldn't be like why? You
and
know?
And
there's
even
a lot
just
of people.
Even just because you got to book two main events because you got two titles.
Yep.
So the question is not only, well, who wins? Which title do they challenge for? And then which one is the headliner? Because conceivably, you could have the winner of the Royal Rumble be in the match that's not the headliner for WrestleMania because the other yeah. title would be the bigger match.
Essentially, there's going to be multiple main events this year at WrestleMania.
Well,
right?
There's always. I mean, or at least they always yeah. try to make it out like there's
sure,
multiple
sure,
main
sure.
events, right? But this year, no, this is going to be a stacked card, like for WrestleMania. Hell, it's a stacked card for Royal Rumble. Royal Rumble's got a ton of people in it, and
dude, it's insane this year, yeah,
and great matches.
Now, I've always thought that, and this is not true this year anymore. But at least for like the last like 4 or 5 years, that the fact that you win the Rumble and that guarantees you a WrestleMania spot was almost making the actual Rumble itself slightly worse.
Yeah.
Because it took away so many of the possibilities of who could win, right? All of a sudden you were like, well, it's gotta be this guy.
It's one of four people.
It's gonna be Roman Reigns, right?
Yeah.
And once we heard Batista, we were like, oh, here we go. They're gonna make Batista's gonna win.
Yeah.
So that was, I feel it kind of hindering the Royal Rumble. But now with the brand split and the fact that so many guys are kind of being pushed to a point where you believe them as main eventers, as guys who could possibly do it, this is, I think, one of the first years in a while where I'm like, this is wide open. I look at the odds and I'm just kind of whoever it turns out to be, I'll be satisfied, right?
Are you somebody that goes to look, because like any pro wrestling betting, if it's one-on-one, especially for the undercard matches, it's really hard to bet on it. And the odds don't change all that much until usually like right before showtime.
Sure.
But Royal Rumble's a big decision. And sometimes those odds tend to get a little, a little weighted. Like you can get a sense if you watch the odds of who's definitely going to win early on. Like last year, Triple H, all of a sudden, he's not on television and he has very prohibitive odds. There is now, I will not say who it is, but if you become a subscriber to our Patreon, you will get access to our Discord, which now has a spoiler section. There is somebody that is currently not an active roster member who has very prohibitive odds to win
like
the
top
Royal
three
Rumble.
Or something, right?
Yes.
Like, ridiculous. Yeah.
Do you avoid those? Do you think it makes it better or more exciting or less exciting?
I never really used to pay attention to this stuff until I started to kind of get into more of the minutia of wrestling, the backstage politics, like that kind of stuff. But now, whoever is making these odds has to have some reason to be putting this person this high. Because
yes.
If you were literally just watching the shows, there's absolutely no reason given to us by on television stuff, right? The segments we have watched, the matches we have watched, to be putting this person so high. So there's something going on. Someone's heard something. People are, we do know that some of these guys who report on wrestling are privy to some of the actual results that are being discussed.
Well, because these are big things. And theoretically, there is a graphic designer in Stamford, Connecticut, who is currently working on assets and graphics for WrestleMania.
Yes.
And they need to know who they're putting in to the posters for WrestleMania. Right.
Sure.
So this word gets out on these things. Like it just happens. So I don't know. I mean, I'm curious to know what you guys think on whether or not you want to remain pure. But for people in the chat right now, do people wager on WWE? Yeah, no.
Yes. Yes, they do.
It's fairly prohibitive. Like you are really just like you are kind of a gambling addict if you are betting on it in any kind
of serious way. It's true, but to a certain extent, whether you, like it doesn't matter that someone's predetermining results. What really matters is there a way for you to know those results, right?
Yeah.
Or not. Because I could have you gamble on which hand is this pebble in, and I'm deciding which hand it goes in, but you don't know, and that's like a fair gambling game, actually, right? Like,
yeah,
technically could be. So just the fact that they are predetermined doesn't mean that you can't, because I think honestly in sports, a lot of things are kind of predetermined. That's why you have to bet on things like the spread and stuff like that. Because if you were just betting on the better team to win all the time, like that, whatever. So to make things more interesting, you do that. But in like wrestling, you know that at certain points they're going to swerve you, right? So there are like odds that other people, like that's why you see Donald Trump at 4,000-1 odds to win the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
It's stupid, but it's like you can put in kind of whatever. I also looked up, there was a Bleacher Report power rankings. And they have a very different. So this is clearly not somebody who's like privy to anything. This is more based on like what's been going on.
Who's looking strong lately?
Yeah. So like they have like Undertaker at number one.
Yeah.
Actually, Chris Jericho at number two, which I found quite surprising.
Drink it in, man.
I don't think a lot of us are assuming Jericho's going to come out with a victory. But, you know, it's like, you know, Braun Strowman and Goldberg and Brock and all that kind of stuff. Like, so the names that you kind of expect. What was really interesting, though, is that, yeah, we looked up these odds, and here's a name you didn't expect, right?
Yeah.
Just kind of out of nowhere, and to be that high, it's kind of insane. And I really do believe it's a possibility.
Well, let me just say this.
A damn cannon, but...
That this person who we are talking about matching up with any four of the people that are in the championship matches is a hot match in my book.
Is a WrestleMania
match in my book. So we will see how it plays out. I want to answer one thing in the chat thing. You know, a cute Dean says, well, you know, they could just be like any sports championship where the graphics are made for all teams that have a shot. But they wouldn't do that in the NFL if they predetermined who was going to win and who wasn't. They would just make the one that they need. And that's what they do in pro wrestling. Let's get into the ring on things that happened over the last week. La Luchadora revealed.
We know who she is now. And apparently the crowd did not. Mickie James was proven to be La Luchadora. The commentary went crazy. But the this was, I will say... The crowd's response may have also been subdued slightly by the fact that they were in a steel cage, and it's harder to tell
who it is
unless you're looking up at the screen, right?
Yeah.
So I didn't do her any favors, but it was fairly clear the current crowd is not necessarily a crowd that was around when Mickie James was on her main run in WWE, right?
You know, number one, I don't have a lot of experience with Mickie James. Literally,
she was around when I wasn't really watching the product. So.
All I know of Mickie James is the since re-edited version of her WrestleMania match with Trish Stratus that included one of the most lewd things that has ever happened during a WrestleMania match.
Yeah, the women's division was completely different back then.
Oh God, yeah, no, for sure. To be fair though, I don't know whether or not they were expecting a gigantic pop. Right?
I don't think they were, but I mean, I think you know it's an interesting way to insert her into an angle immediately, right? And she doesn't need the big pop right when she comes out. But what it did do is, yeah, like immediately she's now in essentially the title picture. She's already like got an angle going. She's already got someone that she's working with, right? So now Alexa Bliss, and this obviously reinforces Alexa Bliss as being a heel champion.
Yeah.
Who's utilizing heel methods to keep her championship. So, I mean, I thought it was great. I'm excited to see what they do with Mickie James's character. She does have, I think, it's really cool they put those two together because they both have some of the most expressive facial, Alexa's known for making weird faces, right?
Yes.
And Mickie James fits right into that. Like, her smile is amazing. She's got a good look in that respect. So, yeah, I'm all for it. Like, this will be good, I think. The crowd will come around to her. They didn't know who she was that night. But
No. Here she is in her La Luchadora.
Yeah. One of the weirdest looking wrestling get-ups I've ever seen, but...
Although
just the fact that they used the pink mask with the red and the blue, it was just awkward. But I think that's part of the point, right? Is like this is clearly not a WWE person. This is some random person.
Yeah, it looks like she had a bit of a tan when she first showed up. She might have lost a bit of that tan.
It's been like five different people though.
Oh sure, yeah. No, I think that's the gag. What I do love about SmackDown, though, is do you remember that chick they had on there like 2 weeks ago that was like this like Mae Young throwback?
Yeah.
Like they
completely botched the finisher for Carmella. Yeah.
She botched the finisher, but I love that look. I would love to see her get brought back because I think that's just such an amazing angle that they could run is just like, you know, because really. If we're going to look back, and I think this is kind of the exciting thing about women's wrestling, is that now you can look back and just see this evolution. It's been around. Sure. It's been done for so long that it's like, yeah, at some point it was just these like very boxy women that were in this like grappling kind of style, very much of their era. And why not? It's not like the world stopped making boxy women who want to wrestle. Like, let them in the ring. They ain't all got to be Victoria's Secret models.
Yeah. No, you're right. Although, like, we do see, like, now, like, yeah, so the women have a different look, obviously. But this is now not – so I was going back and watching a lot of this old WrestleManias.
Yeah.
And I can't – I don't remember the names of the people, but this was the Keebler era, Stacy Keebler.
Yeah.
Right, and all that stuff. And they had a woman come out literally in, like, a thong and, like, a full, like, fishnet outfit, right?
Yeah.
And it was just like, that's – like, I think I just saw her butthole.
Right? Yes.
Like, I think, you know, like, in the middle of her match. And that's where they were then. And this is, you know, 15 years ago, right? So we went from, yes, this Mae Young era where they were, like, tough women, you know, really kind of wrestling, just bashing their heads into the canvas and all that kind of stuff, to then they all have to be supermodels and super sexy and bikini matches, lingerie matches, all that kind of stuff, to now, like, a little bit of a mix of the two, right? So you've got they're hot. They're wearing skimpy stuff, but they like they're wrestling. Right?
But they can
they're
go.
Really good wrestlers. Yeah.
You know, and that's what you have on the men's side, right? You have by and large attractive gentlemen that can also wrestle really, really well.
Sure, sure.
We have a dusty finish on Raw last week. And you want to know what? I can't believe that we don't have this on here because it literally happened right after we recorded. But you want to know what? I'm putting all of this aside for right now because we have not talked about Kurt Angle being inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Now, that's true.
Now official. You know, he's using language.
Packages have run. Yeah.
He's using language like I'm back home. Here's all I can say about Kurt Angle. This is a legacy. When you are triumphantly being announced as having a public relationship with your former employer and everybody is so excited that they reflexively chant, you suck. Right? Like, that just tells you everything you need to know about Kurt Angle. As everyone was so excited to hear the thing in that arena that they still just reflexively chanted, you suck. You suck. You suck. Like, it was just amazing. Just amazing. So what do you think, Kurt Angle?
I mean, I would still at this point be surprised if he is. Now, in the Rumble, you can do this. You could bring a guy back if you're concerned about health issues.
Yeah.
Because all they really have to do is be able to tumble over the top rope at some point without hurting themselves, right?
Yes.
So you're not going to see him diving off the top rope or, you know, doing anything insane. So, I mean, yeah, it could happen now. I definitely think they're teasing the fact that he will come back and have a match at some point.
It would seem, well, I mean,
it feels that way.
So let's unpack at least what we can take from public statements.
Yeah.
It appeared, and even Kurt Angle has said, especially now that for the last year, he's kind of been on the fences mending, tour where he's been publicly talking about, his pill addiction, about his substance abuse addiction, that those were the big reasons why he got let go from
WWE. It
wasn't
just his health. It was also his mental stability and health as well. Yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
And he has gone on record talking about how generous the WWE was to send him to rehab. This is all kind of laid the groundwork, but you gotta figure. I mean, especially if Daniel Bryan or Shane McMahon don't want to be doing the on-air thing forever, right?
Yeah.
He's a natural fit. He's been a former SmackDown general manager before, right? And you can do with him, if you're not comfortable working with Daniel Bryan, where, like, at WrestleMania, he can have a feud with somebody that he can pay off at a huge pay-per-view and, like, wrestle once, not on the road, but wrestle once or get involved here and again. If you're uncomfortable with that, Kurt Angle's the guy, right?
Angle can do that, right?
Because Kurt Angle is wrestling now. He's still wrestling at a very high level. And you got to figure, this is a guy that could do a five-star match, right?
This is the thing that's so crazy about wrestlers. And like they're when you think, oh, it's, you know, when people tell me like, oh, it's fake, it's like, well, so there's this guy, Kurt Angle, who's been slamming his body into the canvas for years. And now he's, you know, a lot older and can still do it.
Yeah.
After abusing his body, not only wrestling, but with drugs and alcohol. and still looks amazing. Like, these guys are not built the same as normal human beings, right? Like, there's something special about the chemistry or makeup of Kurt Angle as a human being.
Well, I mean,
Jesus. Able to still do what he does now.
Chemistry.
I watched the TNA matches.
Chemistry underlined, considering the fact that he has admitted to over the period of like 3 to 4 years working himself up to like a 70 pill a day.
It's crazy.
Addiction.
Yeah.
Like, and
I would probably die the first time I took over, I don't know how many. I'm not a pill guy, but I would think there's a point where I just would die.
Got clean, relapsed, got worse. Yeah. Got clean again. Like he's just a different human being. I'm very excited to see him back. Kurt Angle was obviously when you want to like fill in why the Attitude Era was so special. It's Kurt Angle. When Kurt Angle is your third or fourth most popular person, you've got an insanely stacked card. And
he was so good, not just in the ring, but also out, like the comedy timing and all that stuff. You linked in the Discord. Like almost immediately, Sexy Kurt.
Sexy Kurt.
Like one of the best moments ever. Like,
I'll make your ankle hurt.
He was coming out and doing other people's bits. So, you know, he had all the stuff that he did with Stone Cold forever, where it just, you know, he was playing like this kind of idiot sidekick kind of thing to Stone Cold. Wanted to be cool, wanted to be part of the group.
Yeah.
But the fact that he's not that guy at all in actuality, but could play those types of things so well. He's just, he's like the all, he's like the five-tool guy, right? He can just do everything. So,
I mean, listen, it went wrong at times. You look at that Booker T, Queen Charmel thing, you probably wish you would have had that one back. You know, they're not all
that
gems.
Happens, man. It's wrestling. You throw a bunch of stuff on the wall, some sticks, some doesn't, right?
Very excited to see him back. I would love to see a match at WrestleMania. I'd love to see him in the Royal Rumble, but to be honest, I'd really just love to see him in a WWE ring again. Let's go through these three fairly fast. The club gets Dusty finished as tag team champions.
They teased us as the champs. Which, by the way, one of my favorite things in wrestling is the second referee sliding into the ring.
Yes.
I love it so much. It's so good.
So good. So good. Do you think that we're getting close to for next year or maybe to build up for WrestleMania and then springboard into next year, like a club stable?
Like a full-on? Yeah, I mean, there's already been people making fake posters on Squared Circle.
Sure.
Which also, by the way, feature Kenny Omega.
If
you get Balor back and Omega were to come, how do you not do that as an angle, right? Like, how do you...
Or have Balor go against him, right? Because, listen, John Cena's not going to be there forever. Balor's going to be coming back. What's the natural feud? The natural feud is you have the club against Finn Balor. Balor is the babyface. Build him up. Maybe put a few more people in there.
But you have to have the turn first, right? So you have to have... like, because I think to make that really powerful, you have them... like kind of all back and together and they welcome him back and then at some point turn on him, right?
Yeah.
Because he's not whatever. He's not doing what they want
because
or something.
Or
how many guys in the club can all be world champion at the same time, right? So suddenly there becomes a divide there. Maybe Balor wins it. Omega wants it. Like I can see a lot of things happening there.
Here's all I'm saying. There is a newly healed up, and I mean that H-E-E-L, Dolph Ziggler,
yes,
loves wearing NWO t-shirts.
Yep.
And looked really fun when he was dropping double elbows with AJ in that match that they had at the SmackDown Wild Card Finals. He would be a natural fit.
He's ready to jump into a group that's going to help him win, right? Like that is his character right now is at that moment where he's like, somebody be on my side and help me win a damn
exactly
match.
And him,
he's been getting screwed over by the Dusty finishes now for a long time, right?
For a long time. Speaking of Dolph Ziggler, he's in an angle with Jerry the King Lawler, which just about as deep Southern fried Memphis wrestling as you can possibly
Memphis,
get
by the way, too,
in
right?
Memphis.
So I mean, with they bring him out
shirtless Jerry the King Lawler.
Got the trunks on. Yep, we're good. We all of a sudden he's no longer wearing the douche t-shirts. Now he's back in the full regalia. And yeah, they literally, the angle is Ziggler caused his heart attack, which was such a somber moment on Raw last year. Was it last year? It was like, this was just last year, right?
The heart attack?
Yeah.
Oh, no. That was like 4 years ago. Four or five years ago.
I feel like it just happened.
Oh, no. Yeah, that was a while ago. Now, listen, there is a sense that you can get from the outside that they are cool with each other on that. When Dolph Ziggler would do the 10 elbows thing, he would wink at Jerry Lawler like after the heart attack. So that they seem to be on the same page and playful with each other about it. Here's what I love the most about it, and I love this angle, or this this bit. The idea that medically you can give somebody a heart attack by kicking them in the chest.
Yeah.
Or no, or just because it ends with like, oh my God, what a dastardly move to kick him in the chest. And you feel it. You're like, oh, you son of a bitch. Why are you trying to kill the king? And then you're like, wait, does that work? Does that like,
well,
is that a medical thing where you
believe, if we were to believe Kill Bill, you can give somebody, you can explode their heart just by putting five fingers to their chest, right?
So, exactly. So maybe, I just do love. So 2012 was when that was when that went down. So that was four years
ago. That was a while ago. It just feels very recent because I remember it very, because it happened like literally in the middle of live television, right?
Yeah.
So yeah.
And finally,
you don't forget. But it's this is one of the things about WWE that I really enjoy, about wrestling in general that I really enjoy, is they take real life tragic moments.
Mm-hmm.
And they just insert them into the show. There's like no shame in doing that in wrestling.
No.
And to me, that's what makes it, you know, more real than any like reality TV show. Like a lot of times they will avoid things that they don't want the character, you know, scandals that they, when's the last time on Keeping Up with the Kardashians they talked about the sex tape, right? Like they might've done an angle on that at the beginning, but it's not, you know, part of the show anymore because it's a real life thing that they don't really want to discuss, right?
Here they just manage their off message. The table. Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Finally, Sami Zayn with the a bit of the Super Mark Nerd segment where he's like, hey, look, like we're the new Shield.
I was a little confused by this because, and then I read a Squared Circle thread where someone was claiming that Sami has backstage heat. And this was writing trying to make him look stupid, right? And
I think that was a Meltzer aside on one of their like million hours of live content where
he's got to talk about something, right?
Yeah.
But to me, it's kind of weird because they have, if you think about it, Zayn originally came out. It was like instantly kind of part of the upper mid card, I guess you could say.
Yeah,
you know, he had a couple of matches where he was fighting against world champions and things like that. But then it's just kind of slid his way into these odd feuds like the Braun Strowman stuff, which I'm not 100% sure where that's going or what the real point of it is. I think they're trying to build him up as an underdog, right? The guy who can overcome the odds, which, you know, obviously his angle with Owens was always kind of like that, right? It was always Owens was kind of the monster in that scenario. Yeah. And you finally have the big payoff. But at that moment, right, when he beat Owens with the whole, like, doesn't want to do it, doesn't want to hit him with the final hell of a kick and, like, all that kind of stuff, I think he was, like, so hot. And it is kind of true that it's tapered off just a little bit, right?
Well, but they're building him back now. I think he got lost after the brand split as they were kind of replugging everything in and they had to rejigger stuff because of the Balor injury, especially on Raw. He definitely got left behind, but now, I mean, hell, he's the guy who will fight anybody. He fought Braun Strowman when it wasn't smart. He got his ass kicked. Mm-hmm. He begged for it again and again and again. He continued to get his ass kicked. Last week, he went eyeball to eyeball with Brock Lesnar. You know, and that's something where now he's more believable because he already got his ass kicked from Braun. Why would he be scared of Lesnar, despite the fact that he is infinitely a more scary person? So I think it was fine. I don't know. I mean, Dave Meltzer is.
I think there's a lot of people, yeah, kind of finding reasons to like they're looking for reasons like that. Sammy's getting buried. I'm with you too. I would like to see though, him go back to some of the stuff that, you know, and like now there are so many of these guys that they've worked so long with for, you know, 15 plus years.
Yeah.
Some of those matches where, you know, they go for like the first 5 minutes where it's like they're both hitting all their moves but barely, you know, missing them all because the other guy knows them so well. And
yeah,
I kind of like to see him start wrestling those guys again, because him going up against the Giants is like it's fun, but he's at his best, right, in these kind of more close to like a cruiserweight type of match, right, where there is just lots of fast action nonstop. So I hope we get that. That Sami Zayn
backstage. But the thing is,
I love that.
I think he can always do that. And what I like the most about what he's doing now is that that's what gets him into a WrestleMania main event. Is being the guy that the crowd wants to root for when he takes on the just by way of his size, he's got to be Rey Mysterio to get into a WrestleMania main event. Like he's got to wrestle the big gigantic person. So it's like, yeah, he can always have that crazy, you know, ROH style insane match, and I hope that he does go back to do more of that. But for right now, all I have to say is this. What I think WWE fans would say is the best work that Sami Zayn has done in this company is the run up to his final match with Neville in NXT. That build-up.
Oh, yeah, that was amazing, yeah.
That build-up included him losing clean to Titus O'Neil. So,
yeah,
that's...
But also, you know, like, he lost clean to Nakamura, like, one of the best matches I watched last year, right? And
sure, but that's a dream
like,
match.
I miss watching that so much, right? And the chat, like, yeah, Zayn versus Cesaro, like, that... They've got these guys. Zayn versus AJ Styles. They've got these guys. All here together,
yeah,
and we can make those things happen.
Let
I just
them
hope
fight.
That's where we're headed. And yes. I'm not gonna fantasy book it. I'm gonna give them the benefit of the doubt. That's where we're headed. I just hope it's not, you know, Zayn Braun Strowman forever. Strowman though is an interesting guy. It's like you have to have.
Yeah, oh my God! Here, wait, Strowman. Willie.
Oh no! Who could it be? Alternative smash hit outshined the Gen X conservative. She's here. She's here to give you the alternative facts, Maggle. I can't believe it. Kellyanne Conway in the Alamo Dome.
Returning to the home state of the person she used to work for, Ted Cruz.
That's right. She's ripping. She's wearing a Ted Cruz t-shirt. Oh, God. She's ripped it off. She's revealed a Trump t-shirt underneath.
Let's talk about the Royal Rumble. Give me the one thing that you want to see more than anything and the one thing that you expect to see more than anything.
Well, the one thing I expect to see is like we talked about, the final four with like a Brock and Goldberg, maybe like not like Roman Reigns because he's maybe not going to be in it, but like Ambrose or somebody like Shieldish person, Rollins. There you go.
Yeah.
Rollins would be the guy, and then because I think they want to tease that like Rollins is still like a top guy,
the guy,
right?
Yeah.
Kind of hasn't been for a while, and then obviously Undertaker, right? So I think we see that like kind of this epic final four where you've got like each guy in a corner and it's just the place is going nuts and who's going to win from here. Like that's one of my favorite parts of the Rumble because I love the middle section where it's just chaos in the ring, right? There's all these guys pretending to try to throw people over a rope, but it's not really working. That definitely I expect to see. Outside of that, I think, man, If we do see Kurt Angle as a surprise entrant, holy crap. I mean, I will go nuts.
I expect to see...
We could say that Omega's not showing up, right? Because the 31st is when his contract is over or whatever.
Yeah. Did you see or listen to some of the interviews that he's done lately?
Yeah, he's definitely playing us a little bit at this point, I think.
You want to know what I think this is all about? and this is just total reckless speculation because I have no idea about anything. I think he's power playing New Japan a little bit.
That's very possible because he is still in the position of being the foreigner, right? Now, the top foreigner, but
I think there's a part of him, and I think he's very, very conscious that, you know, Japan in any field is a respect-driven industry. He doesn't want to step on any toes, right? But I think he looks at what they want to do, to go to America, to set up tapings there, and he wants, I think there's a part of him that's like, well, listen, I got to be the top guy if that's what you want to do. Because I can do both. I can get over with the crowd in Japan. I'm sure as hell going to get over more with all these round eyes than, Okada.
Yeah.
Because Okada can't do interviews. Right?
Yeah, no, Okada can't do interviews. Naito won't be able to do interviews. I mean, Nakamura was their biggest, English-speaking guy.
Yeah.
Right? And he's no longer there. So, yeah, it's true.
Now, I will say this. I think at some point he is going to, I think what I've heard from him in these interviews makes it seem more than likely that at some point he will end up in the WWE.
Yeah. I think though the key for him is that he gets to come to WWE and not be boxed into their style, right? He wants to do the things he wants to do, right? For him, wrestling is all about, you know, doing cool, like pushing the envelope a little bit, being weird and out there and embracing like his character the way he wants to do it. And he's kind of always like, there's one thing he's never really waffled on, and that's that he's very much about like the true art of wrestling and not necessarily just I want the biggest check, right?
Oh, sure,
take a smaller check to make sure he can do what he really wants to do.
But I think if you look at or listen to what he's saying between the New Day and AJ Styles,
yeah,
it seems to be a market that would be very receptive to Kenny Omega. So,
oh hell yeah! And by the way, now there's so many of like his friends in WWE, right? That there was a time when it didn't make as much sense because I think, you know, all of his people were still indie wrestlers to a certain extent. And he was actually, I mean, he was with the company for a long time, like developmental, right? And he left because he realized, like, I'm not getting where I want to get here.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, I know. I think it would be weird to me if he never shows up in the WWE ever. Is it going to be this year? I don't know.
Yeah.
I would expect him, if he were to sign back with New Japan, though, it would be like 1 year contract. I don't think he's going multi-year with them.
Well, I mean, who knows? I mean, like that's. I mean, the thing is, like, we don't know. Like, and also,
no, we don't.
From whatever he says, he is saying it to be said, and that's how I am taking it. Monarchado says, "I love how people think that they know what the contract is." I agree. Like, you know, we can take guesses.
We don't know.
Like but we don't know. Who knows? I'll just say this. He seems like somebody that is very. He is playing his leverage as hard as he can push it.
And why wouldn't you right now?
And he should.
He's doing the smart thing, right?
Absolutely.
He's like, I'm the hottest man in wrestling right now. I had the best match anyone's seen in a long time. I can use this now. And why wouldn't you? Yeah, it'd be stupid now.
So what I would love to see is Kenny Omega. I do not think that we are going to see Kenny Omega.
No, but it would be amazing.
It would be a great moment.
What about Finn Balor? We could see Finn Balor. I've heard he's potentially ready to go again.
The rumor is closer to WrestleMania that they would bring him back. But you never know. I mean, we're not that far away from WrestleMania right
now. Again, all he has to do is get, you know, clotheslined out of the ring. He doesn't have to do a coup de grace or anything like that, right? So just the entrance itself and just being in there for a little while, punching and stuff. You didn't have to do everything. So if you're really not truly physically ready, it's not the Royal Rumble's not out.
Here's what I will expect, and I've not heard much about it. I expect to see newly crowned UK champion Tyler Bate.
Hell yeah.
In the Rumble. I think that would be fantastic. And it'd be a great way to get over that whole tournament, and it's more good content that people want to watch. And
yeah, keep the heat on, right, with that
I
thing.
I just really want to do the Tyler Bate. I'm going to try to get that going in the Alamo Dome. That's all I know. We've got one more of these. Here we go.
Oh, no.
One more surprise entrant into the Rumble. Stranger Things! She's alive! By God, she's still alive! She's not in the Upside Down! She's here in the Alamo Dome, and she's carrying the head of the Demogorgon! Barb is in the Alamo Dome!
Thank God, oh my, I feel so much better. That was the saddest moment of my life when Barb disappeared. Whew.
Oh my God! How did she not have the Stranger Things? How did
she not have the actress who plays Barb?
What was that?
Have you seen pictures of the actress who plays Barb?
No.
Like, not in her Barb regalia?
Not barbed up?
She's hot, man.
Really?
Yeah.
I wouldn't doubt it. All actresses are hot.
Pretty much. Too soon in the crowd. Oh, no. We're getting pog champs. People are happy Barb is back. She was a cultural icon last year.
Indeed. Indeed. She had a hell of a year, and now she's back. Now she's back. All right. Here we go. We got our... let's do emails, and then we'll go out on the... Melodica cover. You can, of course, email justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. That is justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Put wrestling in the subject line so I know which podcast you are emailing about. Frozen Summer writes, 29 have been in. All right, he's setting a stage here for you for the Royal Rumble. 29 have been in. Goldberg, Dean Ambrose, and Braun Strowman are left. Final countdown begins. 3, 2, 1. Oh my God, that's James Ellsworth's music. Strowman swings at Ellsworth as he climbs in, misses. Goldberg spears him as he's disoriented, and Braun Strowman goes over the top. Ellsworth hides in the corner as Goldberg and Ambrose go to town on each other for 5 minutes. They're both hanging half over. Ellsworth gives him the final push and wins. James Ellsworth will challenge Alexa Bliss for the SmackDown Women's title with Carmella in his corner. Oh, what an ending.
Wow. Okay. Now, can you, if you win the Royal Rumble, I don't know the rules. I don't know, like, all the, I haven't gone over the technical rules and everything like that. Can you pass off your right to somebody else? Like, could he, in an effort to get laid, well, in the WWE, it's just to get, like, a kiss, right?
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
In an effort to get that coveted kiss from Carmella, could he pass her the opportunity and say, here you go?
I think we could. I don't know.
Anything's possible.
Be a hell of an angle. Be a hell of a story. Can I just say this also about kissing in the WWE? I am so excited for this Noam Dar, Alicia Fox inevitable pairing. Just because one of my favorite things in all of wrestling is super
gross. You mean Alicia Fox.
Alicia Fox.
Yes, dude.
I'm
so
super
good.
Into really gross making out in wrestling.
It's amazing. I love that they're going there, right? Of course, they're covering it with Alicia Fox's hair most of the time, but yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I would like to see them do just open mouths and just tongues, like, just get gross.
Yeah. Oh, it was always, like, Edge and Trish and Christian and Lita, like, just that big, just... Like your tongue is just like tracing like up to the nose and around and like a circle. Oh, the grosser the better. I love it, love it, love it. And I hope it happens. Dennis writes in. This is his pick. Win Goldberg, place Strowman, show Taker.
Okay.
So a lot of people have the Giants, man. That this is all going to be about the Giants. The reasoning, after Goldberg squashed Lesnar, I became convinced that they were trying to transfer Lesnar's heat to an unstoppable babyface so that Reigns could turn heel and beat Goldberg. Since the previous plan of Reigns over Lesnar didn't work out so well, I believe that Reigns beats Kevin Owens and Reigns faces Goldberg at Mania. So that would necessitate that Reigns would be the bad guy.
Yeah,
if you're going up against Goldberg.
Who's going to spear the hardest, right? Sure. I could see it. I could definitely see it. I mean, if they do, I think at some point they have to embrace the fact that the crowd wants to boo Roman Reigns, right? So just let him, because I like Reigns as a wrestler. I think he's fine. I get the boos.
Yeah.
People felt like he was pushed down their throats, and they didn't like that. The wrestling fan of today, more than ever, embraces the predetermined aspect of wrestling. So more than they're booing Reigns, they're really booing, like, creative, right?
Well, sure. I think
so. Let Reigns not be the butt anymore, right? Let him be a true heel.
Here's the only problem with that scenario, and this is why I would think Spoiler instead of Goldberg would be the guy to do this, is that Goldberg's not staying around, and I...
Yeah, he won't be here, you know, into next year, 2 years.
And as
now,
somebody that hashtag Dills to Mania hopes to have floor seats for WrestleMania in Orlando... Mm-hmm. Dills, how excited or not excited would you be if, for a second consecutive WrestleMania, it ends with Roman Reigns holding up the title?
I mean...
Because I would suspect it would be less than enthusiastic. I would be less than enthusiastic if that was what they did.
Just because it's two years in a row, I'd like to see something new. Absolutely.
Especially with so much talent kind of bubbling up, it'd be very, very interesting to see who they would want to give it to. I think Roman Reigns has a very important part to play in a lot of things. I don't know if it needs to be him lifting up the title, nor do I think it needs to be Goldberg going on any kind of run post-Mania. We're getting a perfect amount of Goldberg. Once we're done with Goldberg, then maybe we can bring him back out in a year or two. But like,
I would prefer Goldberg is not actually even competing for the title at WrestleMania this year. I think he doesn't need a title to make his match awesome and amazing. But I do get that the angle they're kind of pushing here is Goldberg going one more time for
the title,
the belt.
But you gotta wonder whether or not that story ends at Rumble, because he's being advertised as wrestling at Fastlane as well.
Oh. Okay.
You gotta wonder where that goes. All right. As we do.
Well, lots of wiggle room before WrestleMania, by the way.
Oh,
there's so many different ways that a lot of these things can be taken. I think last year, I think we all kind of felt we knew at this point where Mania was going to be going. This year, I don't feel that way. I feel like they could do lots of different things, and I'd be happy with it.
Put it in a blender. All right, this was our Melodica challenge for last week. I think it was 5. I got to start keeping track of this.
All right. Hornswoggle?
Do you really not know this?
I'm bad at these.
All right, I'm going to wait for the chat. Yeah, no, British Bulldog. That's
a British Bulldog.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, no, now I hear it. See, I hear it every single. But see, okay, I'm a musician.
Yeah,
I think our friend here is taking a little bit of license with the rhythmic parts of these, and so you know, I'm hearing a lot of rhythm things, and not necessarily just the tone.
Yeah. Oh no. This is a shitty Melodica version of these theme songs.
They're great.
You are overqualified to be listening to these as a musician.
They're great. I'm just saying, like, I'm listening to other things besides just, no, it's true. Also, I would also say, if you were to put the British Bulldogs music on, it would take me a second, you know. I'm not a guy who remembers like every single wrestler.
No, but that's but like if you're listening to the British Bulldog one, then it's like okay, it's one of four British wrestlers, right? Because like dun, 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 dun. All right, here we go. This is the one for this week. Please remember to send at Justin R. Young and at Willie Dills on Twitter your guesses as to what this is. Here we go. This is your Melodica challenge for this week.
Well, that was long.
That was long. All right, we're gonna play it one more time.
That one than we've been getting from the other
one. More time for you. By
Apparently, the Godfather was a wrestler, and
Trey Warren is the one who made all of these. He is in the chat right now saying this is one of the worst ones that he did. So this is a challenge, folks. We have a big challenge for you on Royal Rumble weekend. In fact, I'll tell you this. If you are listening to the sound of my voice and happen to be in San Antonio this weekend, both Dills and I are going to be there as well. Come on up. Say hello. Tell us what melodica theme you think that is. We are going to have a great time. Hopefully, at some point during Saturday or Sunday, we'll do a little meetup for anybody else that's there. So keep in touch. Dills, where can people find you?
Check me out on Twitter at Willie Dills. Twitch is twitch.tv/WillieDillsSF, where you can find me streaming mostly Hearthstone, but some other stuff too from time to time. So come check it out. I may even try to stream a little WWE 2K17 since we're going to be, I think this would be the week to do it. So
nice.
That might be kind of fun. Maybe I'll do the Royal Rumble like in the actual game. Try to get all the current competitors in there and see what we can do. Be fun.
Man, I'm in Austin as of tomorrow, so maybe we could
get
do a little co-stream. Yeah, maybe we could do that. All right, you can follow me, Justin R. Young, on all social media platforms. Remember, you can email the show, JustinRobertYoung@gmail.com. Patreon.com/1900Wrestling is where you can support the show, and we're gonna have to start now that Royal Rumble is here and we are officially on the road to WrestleMania. We're gonna have to start that rolling countdown of exactly how much cash we need to do to pay for Willie Dills Gregory's a floor seat at Mania. It's gonna be a squeaker. I'm very, very excited. But for me and Willie, this is 1-900-WRESTLING. We will see you at the Rumble.
I want you to call me for all of wrestling's latest news and views. I've been involved in wrestling for 35 years, and nobody knows wrestling like me. Remember the number
1-900-WRESTLING.
Stupid idiots.
They call me Horror.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
And his name is John C.
Well, look at this, prima donna.
Thank God Donald Trump's a whole idiot.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.